aircheck.com.
On the shoreline, less likely. Top winds at 110 miles an hour. Way up high on the Russian space station Mir, astronaut Shannon Lucid has had her eye on Hortense. But NASA's Kyle Herring says they're giving Lucid some good news today.
The weather conditions have improved with our Hurricane Hortense now looking like it doesn't impact the Florida coast at all. So all is on schedule with the countdown for the launch to go and retrieve Shannon and bring her home and have her swap places with John Blaha.
Shannon Lucid has been in space for a record-busting 175 days. With NBC Radio News, I'm Jan Johnson.
Before you found the perfect house with the big, comfortable kitchen, there was a call to Countrywide Home Loans, where you found the low rate that made that house your home. You see, we don't use commissioned salespeople, so we can keep our rates among the lowest. Call 800-EASY-877. Every 2 minutes, somebody gets a home loan from Countrywide. It's easy, really. 800-EASY-877. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
There's a dockside celebration going on right now at Red Lobster. Come and enjoy the biggest harvest of the season and delicious new combinations like our dockside feast.
Wow, that looks delicious.
It's overflowing with lobster tail, sweet snow crab, and a new taste, sizzling roasted shrimp. All of it all together on one plate at a special harvest time price, the lowest in years. The dockside feast.
I'll have that. Me too.
It's going fast, so hurry into Red Lobster tonight.
This is Barbara Dulap from Prudential Securities in Albany with the stock market update. The market closed up 66.21 at 58.38.15, 485 million shares traded. Stocks of local interest are IBM up 4 7/8 at 122 1/8, GE up 1 3/8 at 88 3/8, Telephone up 3/8 at 55 1/4, Browning Ferris closed at 25 1/8 down 3/8, Microsoft up 2 3/8 at 131, and Hanford Brothers down 1/8 at 32 1/2. On the metals market, silver was down 7 cents at 550, gold down 20 cents at 385.60. That's a closing market report. I'm Barbara Dulap from Prudential Securities in Albany for Talk 1300 WQBK.
Talk 1300, Talk 1300, WQBK.
Hi, Bill Walton here. Consistency is what separates great players from the rest.
Thinking about buying a new car? But you develop sticker shock?
Okay, I think we got the computer straightened out here. Good afternoon, welcome to Capital District Agenda. I'm your Friday host, Mike Hotelling. And every Friday, as you know, we talk a little bit about the environment. We dedicate the hour to the environmental topic, which is very important, well, not just on an election year, but anytime as far as I'm concerned. Some very interesting developments this week, and I kind of slapped together a show at the last minute here, but Monday I received the press release from the governor's office on the Environmental Bond Act, and listeners of this show, and also of the Earth Speak show that I do over on our FM sister station, WQBK, you know that I've been highly supportive of the Bond Act, you know, right from the beginning. And, well, how do I put this the right way? It's every community, I guess, political community, environmental community, maybe the broadcasting community, you have your inner squabbles and your inner fighting. You know, you get a lot of people thinking their idea is better than the other person's idea. And, you know, that happens a lot in politics. What I find so amusing, and actually amusing in a good way about the Environmental Bond Act, is the fact that the entire environmental community, as far as environmental groups, have pulled together on this. And what's even more amazing to me is Democrats and Republicans alike here in New York State have pulled together and are behind this Environmental Bond Act. I have a bipartisan panel here to talk about the Bond Act here today. And but before I do, I want to say a couple of thank yous for the for some folks that helped me like slap this show together really quickly. I want to thank John Stopher over at the Sierra Club for some information and some leads on this. Also, Jeff Jones, who's been on this show before from Environmental Advocates. And Jeff will be back on the show, of course, sometime in the future. I want to thank Jeff. I also want to thank Marcia White over at Senator Bruno's office. I was in contact with Marcia all week. And she really wanted to get Senator Bruno as part of this panel here today because Senator Bruno is also behind the Bond Act. there's a lot of people behind this Bond Act. I guess you could count the number of people against the Bond Act on your fingers at this point. But Senator Bruno wanted to do the show, and we appreciate Marcia helping us here because he had a previous commitment, and he couldn't make the show. And it was a commitment that was made months ago. You have to understand that I slapped this show together within a couple of days. But Senator Bruno, Marcia did tell me, is interested in coming on the program at some future point to push the Bond Act. We think everybody's behind this, and we want to talk about it today. And, of course, we want to hear from listeners out there at 463-1111. Want to introduce my panel here this afternoon, and it is a bipartisan panel because this really is a bipartisan issue. I think everybody's behind this. Want to introduce, first of all, somebody that I think everybody in the Capital District knows, a well-known name in the area, Jack McEnany. Say hello, Jack.
Hello. How are you, listeners? It's good to be here, and it's good to be here for a good cause.
Well, we appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule to come down, and, we very much appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
Also on our panel here today, Gary Sheffer from, Gary, let me see if your microphone's working, because sometimes we have to beat on it.
Good afternoon.
Your microphone is working. Okay. We have Gary Sheffer, and Gary represents Governor Pataki in this. Gary is one of the lead spokespeople, I guess, or liaisons, to convince voters, which I don't think is going to need too much convincing, but, want to get this out, and get this passed. Now, the one thing I want to bring up is a lot of people like to take credit for things, and a lot of people like to point fingers when things don't work. And my point right here is that if this Environmental Bond Act doesn't pass, or does pass, well, if it doesn't pass, then it's not Gary's fault, it's not Jack's fault, it's not Governor Pataki's fault, it's not Senator Bruno's fault, it's not Shel Silver's fault, it's your fault, the listener, the voter. Because this has been laid out to us on a silver platter, and I think everybody should be running to the voting booth and pulling that yes lever on this Environmental Bond Act, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So this is up to you folks that are listening, this Environmental Bond Act. So I don't know where we want to start. Maybe we'll start with Jack, just a familiar name around here. Jack, when did you get involved in the Bond Act?
Well, the Bond Act started to become a real possibility in the later weeks of the session in June. The environmentalist groups had concern. The governor had a proposal out there. Various entities in the Senate and the Assembly got involved, and I think a lot of us were very concerned that the last Bond Act went down for whatever reasons, whether it wasn't marketed properly or it didn't have the preparation that people needed or the assurances that people needed. And we were concerned that nothing was being done on clean air and clean water. Obviously, nobody wants to go and borrow money to do something over a long period of time. We'd rather pay as you go, but we know that the budgets have been difficult in New York State, and some of these projects are projects that have to be done now. Mm-hmm. They have to be done in the very, very near future. I mean, if you're a one-year-old and you're living near a hazardous site, and we wait 5 years before we start, you're talking about some very serious damage that can be done. If you're a struggling mayor in a community and you have a brownfield where there used to be a 19th century industrial site, and nobody's going to come into your community because they don't want to accept the liability and they can't handle cleaning up that area, you need that help. There's a lot of things that have to be done right away, and that means that we do what people want to do when they buy a home. They don't spend their whole life waiting to pay cash for the home. They go out, they mortgage it, they pay it responsibly over a period of time.
Now, Jack, I take it you're very much in support of the Bond Act.
Yes,
and
I am.
And I take it that you're going to take the forefront here locally to help push this as a nonpartisan thing.
Absolutely. I think one of the things I was quoted in the paper earlier this week is I don't think I have ever seen or that anyone will ever see a broader-based group of supporters for an issue than has come together. I think virtually every, I don't know of a single environmental group in New York State that is not supporting this, yet the business community is supporting it, the mayors are supporting it, people in rural and suburban areas are supporting it, and above all, the upcoming next generation is supporting it because it's the future of New York State. We can't afford to wait, and I think people are aware of that.
And I take it you would urge your constituents this November to pull that lever.
I will campaign and from now right to the election on it.
Okay, now we want to get to know Gary Sheffer here a little better. He's representing Governor Pataki on this. Now, Jack, of course, a Democrat, Governor Pataki being a Republican. Let's learn a little bit about Gary, because you're really not a household name right now.
Not yet.
You will be by November, trust me. But tell us a little bit about Gary Sheffer and how you ended up getting this very important duty or task.
Well, actually, I'm on leave. I was a spokesman for the State Department of Environmental Conservation. I have taken a leave of absence from the state, as has Michael Finnegan. Michael Finnegan is the architect of this bond act. He was the governor's counsel, and he has taken a leave of absence because we are precluded by law from advocating for the bond act as state employees. We cannot use state resources to ask people to vote yes. So we've taken leaves of absences from the state, and now we're out there asking people to learn what's in the Bond Act, to educate themselves, and we think when they do that, that they'll strongly support this.
Now, from the governor's point of view, this is all nonpartisan also. The governor wants to see this, right?
That's right. I mean, we took a trip around the state this past Wednesday. The governor, we went to Buffalo, and we met with Mayor Mazziello there, a Democrat. He strongly supports this. We were here in Albany with Jack and with Mayor Jennings, Democrats who strongly support this. Everywhere we went, we had Democrats out there saying this is the right thing to do. And not only Democrats, but the business community, environmentalists, citizens of all walks coming out to say this is the right thing to do for New York. And it's the right thing not only environmentally, but economically. You've mentioned the brownfields provision of this bond act. That's the most apparent and obvious economic program that's a part of this bond act.
We want to get to that in a minute. We got to run to a break, and we also have a phone caller that's on the line that would like to speak to the panel here, and we're going to do that in a minute. I guess the point I want to bring up on this, and it was kind of funny because I had a telephone conversation this week with a friend of mine who's a state legislator, a state senator in Pennsylvania. And I told him about the Bond Act and sent him some information on it. And, it's funny. This Bond Act makes so much sense. Here's a state senator from another state. Just so happens to be Republican, by the way. But from another state. Said, you know something? He says, you guys up in New York State, you guys fight amongst yourself. You fight and you claw. Your budget is late. Da-da-da-da. All this and that. Every now and then you guys pull off a great one and everybody gets behind it. And he said to me that if the voter votes this in New York State, then he would be very interested in pursuing something like this in the state of Pennsylvania. And another comment that he made is that when New Yorkers do pull together, he's noticed that we send an example for the other states.
Oh, absolutely. It's always been that way.
Yep.
Labor reform, all kinds of reform, worker safety, the environment from day one, from the early part of this century when Teddy Roosevelt was the governor. We have always been the leader, and other states do look to see what's happening.
Well, you got a state senator down in Pennsylvania that's very thrilled about this.
That's great.
About the Bond Act. But anyway, we're going to run to a break. We got a caller on the line. We'll get the caller on the air. And if you have anything, now our panelists here are Jack McEnany from the State Assembly, Democrat, and representing Republican Governor George Pataki is Gary Sheffer, who's the Bond Act liaison, so to speak. Man, you put on a lot of miles this week, didn't you?
We sure did. We were in Albany, we were in Rochester, Buffalo, Syracuse, New York City last night. I spoke in Brooklyn about the Bond Act and was very well received there.
Okay, well, if you have a question on the Bond Act for our panel, it's 463-1111. We'd love to hear from you this afternoon. Going to run to a break, and we'll be right back. I think we're going to run to a break.
Dr. Robert Mulgrew, independent optometrist next to LensCrafters.
I'm an eye doctor because I want to help people see better. LensCrafters helps that happen. I always provide a thorough eye exam. I've got all the right technology. I can check for glaucoma, cataracts. And with LensCrafters' one-hour service, I get to see my patients in their new glasses right away. I enjoy seeing my patients year after year because when they come back, that's showing trust. I'm their eye doctor. That's a responsibility I wouldn't trade for anything.
LensCrafters, helping people see better 1 hour at a time.
So I tried this brand new online trading company. Low, low commissions, they said. Then I asked for real-time quotes. They said, oh, that's an extra $30 a month.
I guess I was blinded by the low commissions. But without good information and research, I was trading blind. What do I do now?
You come to eSchwab. You get online trading direct or through the World Wide Web, real-time quotes, and access to news and research. And of course, stock trades up to 1,000 shares for just $39. And that's the difference between eSchwab's low commissions and what some electronic brokers really cost you. Call 1-800-eSchwab extension 5. Call now for a special introductory offer worth $170. Don't compromise. Call 1-800-eSchwab extension 5. Charles Schwab and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and the New York Stock Exchange.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. Stocks rally on low inflation. I'm Peter Donnelly. Details in a moment.
Hi, this is Tom Bosley. I think most of us want to buy life insurance, but it seems so expensive. And the hassle. Well, I'm happy to tell you someone is changing the way America buys life insurance. SelectQuote. SelectQuote doesn't just give you one price from one company. They search top-rated firms like Travelers and CNA to find you low rates and great savings. Then they send you a free personalized price comparison. And you'll love this. Your doorbell never rings. SelectQuote's friendly staff works with you over the phone to help you choose the best policy for you. No wonder SelectQuote has saved over 100,000 people millions of dollars on term life insurance. See how much you can save. Just call 1-800-543-2215. SelectQuote. They're changing the way America buys life insurance. Call now. 1-800-543-2215. Coverage available in most states.
Stock prices are in new territory. The Dow Jones Industrial soared 66.58 to finish at 5,838.52, 60 points above the old high and skyrocketing more than 3% for the week. Bill LaFave, market analyst at Aaron Kronz King and Nussbaum, says with volume close to half a billion shares, the summer slump is apparently over.
We had a market that reacted to less risk as far as interest rate rises are concerned, and more positive in that they're now looking at the third quarter earnings that'll be out. So
the Treasury's 30-year bond jumped 1 3/8, the yield down to 6.94%. Merrill Lynch raised IBM's rating, so Big Blue rose 4 7/8. Other tech stocks also rallied, NASDAQ index adding nearly 2%. Crude oil for next month's delivery fell 49 cents to $24.51. December gold lost 20 cents. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
Talk 1300 WQBK.
Okay, and what you're hearing is Capital District Agenda. I'm your Friday host, Mike Hotelling, and I'm here every Friday. We talk a little bit about the environment, and we have a panel here today. And what we're doing is talking a little bit about the Environmental Bond Act, which is getting major league headlines in the paper, you know, lately, you know, this week especially, because the whole, I guess, real major push kicked off this week, right, Gary?
That's correct. We began Sunday in New York City in Battery Park with the kickoff of the Vote Yes campaign. And again, that's being funded entirely through private donations. We're not using public funds to encourage people to vote for the Bond Act, and there's legal reasons for that. This past week, we were in across upstate in three or four cities talking to people about it. We're being very careful. We want to run this campaign through private funds. We're going to be an open book. We're going to let people see what's going on to get this campaign together, and it's going to be a very open and a very inclusive campaign.
Now, isn't the League of Conservation Voters going to put out a big ad campaign on this?
The League of Conservation Voters, Paul Elston, who chairs the league, is the co-chair of the Vote Yes campaign with Michael Finnegan. They are working on some media strategies and campaigns. They'll be working extensively in New York City to get the vote out and also in upstate. Our campaign is going to be more focused on the media using the governor and people like Jack McEnany to encourage people to learn more about the Bond Act and to vote for it.
Now, we have a couple of phone callers on the line. We're going to go to them in a second, but there's a couple of things. There was a bit of a problem initially with the Bond Act, a little bit of discrepancy, a little bit of controversy, so to speak. When the Bond Act first came out, now I've been highly supportive of it right from the beginning. My point is, let's take the money and run. This is going to be the best thing, you know, for the environment in New York State since I can remember. But a couple of the environmental groups kind of broke away and were unhappy with the brownfield, the way the brownfield codicil or whatever was written into the Bond Act. And you want to explain a little bit about that?
Yeah,
and how it got smoothed over?
And maybe I should start by explaining to people quickly what brownfields are.
Okay.
Brownfields are contaminated industrial sites, often found in our inner cities, that due to the industrial practices of the past, when there weren't the knowledge of environmental issues, contaminants got disposed of. These sites now sit vacant because of the contamination. No developer is willing to come in and accept the liability that goes along with those properties for the cleanup. They can be very costly. These sites, however, offer great potential for economic development because they have the infrastructure. They're centrally located. They're in our cities. And we think they offer great potential for economic development in our cities. There was a discrepancy on the brownfield provision of the Bond Act. What level these sites would be cleaned up? Would it be an agreed upon level for the intended use, or would it be to national Superfund standards? The governor proposed that originally that they be cleaned up to the intended use. In other words, you don't clean up a property if it's just going to have an industry on it to the same degree that you would if people were going to live there.
Mm-hmm.
And in the final resolution, we agreed that the sites would be cleaned up to Superfund standards. So people should be aware of that these sites will be cleaned up to the same level that any site would be that is on the National Superfund.
Well, it didn't take long after that for the entire environmental community to jump right on this bandwagon.
Well, I think, you know, the great thing about this Bond Act is it's been from the start. The Pataki administration didn't go to the environmental community and plop something down on their desk and say, hey, here's your Bond Act. It was an inclusive, we brought people in, we talked about what the needs were, most pressing environmental needs of this state, and I think for that reason, that it's one reason why this Bond Act enjoys such broad support from the environmental community.
Okay, we got three callers on the line here. Callers, just hang in there. I got one more question. I'm going to point this one at Jack. Nobody said radio is easy, Jack. I'm going to put you on the spot here on this one. One of your colleagues has come up about the only voice I've heard out there so far on a political level against the Bond Act. And I want to put you on the spot about
mm-hmm.
it. It was in the paper. Mike Bragman, what's going on there?
Mike is the majority leader, Democratic majority leader of the Assembly, and he's a very knowledgeable person. He's a conservative Democrat and represents an area of primarily of conservative Democrats. And he would prefer to see us borrow the money or spend the money so much per year, take it out of operating expenses. Well, you know, I would respectfully disagree with Mike because that isn't going to happen. We haven't had too many surpluses over the years in the New York State budget. If the economy turns itself around and does well, it's going to take some time to do that. In the meantime, you're going to wind up with brownfields continue to be a drain on urban areas and other areas throughout the state. Industry is not going to expand. Jobs are not going to happen. And then strictly from a matter of health, Onondaga Lake, which is in his district, is going to remain polluted. The Hudson River Estuary and Lake Champlain are not going to be taken care of. These are serious issues that I think we have to attend to right now. As it is, it's not going to happen immediately if the Bond Act passes. It's going to take a period of years. So those of us who support the Bond Act, including, say, Ron Canestrari in this area, who is certainly a more conservative Democrat than I am, do support the Bond Act because we feel this is something that has to be done now. It's also something else. People look at $1.75 billion and they say this is a tremendous outgo of money. There are matching funds, hundreds of millions of dollars of federal matching funds that are available if you have this program in place. More importantly, there's private industry money, industry that's willing to move in, build a factory, take over a former industrial site, but can't do it now realistically because of the contamination and above all the liability of that site. So other dollars are going to be generated if we start working right away, all of which helps our economy.
Do you want to add something?
I just want to make one point is that also this is something that we're working in partnership with the municipalities that have to upgrade their facilities and sewage treatment, et cetera, to meet federal standards or state standards.
And they're under mandate.
And they're under mandate, and they cannot afford to do this on their own. So we are, by providing the Bond Act funds, also providing relief to those communities that would be forced to raise property taxes otherwise.
Do you think it would be politically wise for Mike Bragman to back off of this?
I mean, I can't speak to the politics of it.
That's for Mike to judge. I mean, I'm sure he's following his conscience and he's looking at the wishes of his people. We just happen to disagree. We're not in a position. This is a democracy. People have different ways of looking at things. He may feel that we'll be much more prosperous next year in New York State, and there'll be available funds from the budget.
I think I want to make it perfectly clear to the listener, though, that that is one voice. That it only the only voice that I've heard politically so far come out with any opposition to this.
And I think, you know, from his perspective, I was sort of surprised by his position, given that there are $75 million in the bond act for Onondaga Lake. Onondaga Lake is probably the most polluted lake in the United States. It's been abused for more than 100 years, and it's the only lake in the United States on the National Superfund Registry. So there is strong sentiment in that community out there to clean up that lake, to make it swimmable and usable and fishable, and for him to oppose the Bond Act, in some ways, he is opposing a solution to
but
that
this,
problem.
But this is just one rare guy out there opposing it. I've heard virtually every Republican, every Democrat for this, as well as every environmental group and other community leaders.
Exactly. Having said that, however, I think it's very important that the listeners and all of us realize that we can't be fooled by all of the support that this Bond Act has gotten. I think that's one of the reasons why the 1990 Environmental Bond Act went down, was that we sort of became complacent about these types of things, and we're going to have to let people know what's in it, so that they'll support it.
But in my opinion, that bond act that you were talking about had a lot of
reasons.
There were a lot of junk attached to it. I'm sorry. Whereas this bond act has come out pretty much unscathed, with special interests and this attached to it and
It's a very targeted and a very focused plan for addressing our most pressing environmental problems.
I'm much more enthusiastic about this bond act than the other one. Well, we're going to go to some phone callers here. For our panel, let's see if we can get this working here. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello. How are you?
How are you today?
Good.
Good.
How's my buddy Jack doing?
He's hanging in there.
I'm sorry I missed you on the radio the other morning. I wanted to give you a goosin', but I didn't get a chance. I got a question for you.
Yes.
Okay. You mentioned the 1990 Environmental Bond Act.
Yes.
I remember such outstanding things in there, like park benches,
yeah,
historic churches, historic synagogues. Are we going to have any of that pork barrel in this one?
Well, there's a question whether you'd call it pork barrel or not. Some of it was in the 86 Bond Act, which was successful, and that some of those expenditures were very worthwhile. No, I don't think you ever had park benches in the 1990 Bond Act.
There was restoration of historic churches.
But I think you're exaggerating on park benches.
I'll give you that one.
Okay.
The other two I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay.
Are we going to have any of that kind of garbage in this?
No, I don't think you'll see anything of that nature.
Just
in
birds,
there.
Just trees and grass and ground.
Well, let me say this.
Well, you've got some state park money in there, and you could conceivably wind up with historic properties involved in it, but that's not the focus.
And that's the small part. The major focus of this bond act is it's a clean water, clean air bond act, but there's about $1 billion in there for water. And in most cases, for example, the Hudson River Estuary, we know the problems. We've devised solutions. Extensive studies have been done, and plans have been developed to solve the problems. So
what are the demographics of this bond act? Which parts of the state is the money going to?
It's going to all parts of the state.
I mean proportionately.
I would say that, I mean this sincerely, that it's geographically balanced. There's $75 million, as I mentioned, in for Onondaga Lake. There's $25 million in for the Hudson River Estuary.
Is it geographically balanced based on population, based on
No.
Land?
The projects were selected based on our most pressing environmental needs.
It isn't going all to Long Island.
Not at all.
With those boys.
Not at all. There's money in it for rural communities in the Adirondacks to help them close their landfills. There's money in it for Lake Champlain. There's money in it for the Great Lakes. It's a
Hudson River Estuary.
Hudson River Estuary.
Everybody from Troy all the way down.
So
well,
no.
Well, I live down in Waterfleet. I'm going to be looking forward to at least one park bench down here.
Well, with that,
if you'll vote yes, then well.
As good as you guys say, then I wish you luck.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much for the phone call. Let's go to another caller here. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, gentlemen, I have a couple of questions.
Go ahead, sir.
Do any of you know and would be willing to identify those who are opposed to this? I mean, people that are in elected office. And if so, wouldn't it have been more informative to the listeners to have some of these people who don't agree with this to be on the program so that we would get both sides of the
sir,
argument here.
Sir, all along in the program we had been saying there's virtually nobody that has come out against this.
So far, somebody may come out between now and Election Day. Right now, Michael Bragman, who's based in Syracuse in Onondaga County, is the only person that I know of from either party or either house who's in opposition to the Bond Act. Now, as things go on, I think if somebody surfaces, I'm sure WQBK would be very happy to bring them in here for equal time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, sir, the point is, Republican, Democrat, environmentalist, non-environmentalist, I mean, everybody is behind this just because it makes sense, sir.
One of the things that points I'll make on the broad support for this is when we went around the state this week, not only were the environmentalists here, but the local chambers of commerce were there. They recognize that this is a sound investment in the economy of this state. The Business Council of New York State is also a strong supporter of this. And even Carl McCall, a Democrat, mm-hmm. the state comptroller, is supportive of this Bond Act. He's deemed it to be fiscally prudent. So there doesn't seem to be any real groundswell of any kind of opposition building. And again, Assemblyman Bragman is the only elected official that I know of that is opposing it.
Well, why do you think people turned the Bond Act down the last time?
Well, I think there were several problems. I do think that...
Can I make a comment?
Sure.
To be honest, listener, I think, or caller, I personally, and this is just as a private resident out here and a broadcaster, I thought there was an awful lot of crap attached to it. All right. Now you guys can speak officially. I'm just saying as a voter, I thought there was a lot of crap attached to it.
Let me say, I think that was different economic times, too. 1990, there was a lot more fiscal uncertainty, I believe, in this state. And I think with Governor Pataki the last 2 years, we have a different atmosphere in New York State financially. The governor has led the nation in tax cuts, is seventh in creating jobs last year, and I think people know that he's a true fiscal conservative and would not be proposing something that if it weren't fiscally sound.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, you still there, caller? Oh, no, I guess not. All right, well, we'll go to one more caller here. Hello, are you there, caller?
Hello.
Hello, you're on.
Good afternoon. I was wondering if either yourself or one of your guests there tonight would hazard a projection as to what the bond council fees and underwriting fees would be that would be associated necessarily with the passage of this act. And secondly, by what criteria the firms that would do the bond council and underwriting work would be selected. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay. Either one of you guys want to take that one?
I have no idea. And
I think the standard rules and regulations that are in place now, as far as I can see, would take place.
Exactly.
And, of course, you have Carl McCall overseeing the whole process.
That's right.
I don't think it would be done any differently than any other bond
standard issue
in New York.
Okay, well, with that, we're going to run to a break. We have another caller on the line, and if you would like to talk to the panel here, we have Jack McEnany, and we also have Gary Sheffer, who represents Governor Pataki on the Environmental Bond Act. This is a good one. I give it a big thumbs up. Not too many people have come out against this one, and for a good reason. And if you want to call and ask some questions about the Bond Act, well, we got a couple of guys here that know a hell of a lot more than I do about it, and I like it. So give me a call here, 463-1111. We're going to run to a break, and we'll be right back.
He threw you out.
No, about the
she
last
threw you out.
Commercial.
Well, somebody threw somebody out. You best believe there's going to be a mattress bought pretty soon. Hi, Justin Resnick of Resnick's Troy Mattress Outlet. Don't walk in and buy the first thing you find. Shop around. You're very vulnerable now. You'll pay too much money. Resnick's Troy Mattress Outlet has twin size for $29.99, full size for $39.99, queen size for $49.99, and king size for $59.99. Come on in and check us out. Save the mattress. North Troy, next to Mr. Snowman. Clifton Park, Route 9, just south of Route 146. East Greenbush, where Route 4 and Route 20 meet, in front of Shop and Save Plaza. Schenectady, Route 5, State Street. Amsterdam, Route 30 North. Queensbury, behind Red Lobster, Route 9. Albany, Everett Road exit, I-90, Shop and Save Plaza. Hudson, behind the movies. And, of course, Colony, exit 2W Northway, Route 5, next to Airtight Window, where Airtight Business Center... Ripped or signed down.
In the past, the average worker wasn't paid to think. Each job was only one step in a larger process. Today's re-engineered companies demand that you take responsibility for the whole process. Work is becoming more interesting, but a lot tougher. Michael Hammer, co-author of Reengineering the Corporation, tells you how to survive in a process-centered organization with his new bestseller, Beyond Reengineering. Prepare for a challenging future with Beyond Reengineering. At bookstores now from Harper Business.
They say the automobile is the American dream. Well, let me tell you, people, it's not a dream if you've got my car. No, sir, it's a nightmare. The darn thing was smoking so bad, I looked like one of the Blue Angels coming down the street. It was a nightmare that ended the day I broke down in front of Auto Palace. Not only did Auto Palace have thousands of parts, they had the exact ignition parts I needed for my car from hell. Just by doing it myself, I could afford a complete tune-up, saving over $100 compared to those tune-up places that often have to order the parts. Now that my car's running good, everything's changed. My girlfriend's more friendly, and my neighbor, who's been snubbing me, actually smiled. Okay, maybe it was more of a smirk, but I definitely see a new attitude. It's Auto Palace. We're here to help you fix your car. For the Auto Palace nearest you, call 1-888-81-PARTS. Right now at Auto Palace, when you buy two Chevron fuel injector cleaners, you'll get another one free. Here's wishing you people happy motoring.
A lot of people go to the ocean for fresh seafood, but people around here go to the Real Seafood Company for exceptional seafood close to home. That's not all. The new Real Seafood menu is even better than before, featuring a little less chicken, beef, and pasta, and a lot more seafood. And since the Real Seafood Company is the number one Capital District seafood restaurant, the redecorated restaurant is just as exceptional as the new menu. Try the tuna medallions, a medley of yellowfin tuna, sun-dried tomatoes, artichokes, white wine and herbs, or Maryland soft-shell crabs. The selections are fantastic, and so is the food at the Real Seafood Company, where they bring ocean-fresh seafood to you. The Real Seafood Company, 195 Wolf Road, Colony. Open Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. until 11 p.m., Friday and Saturday until midnight, and Sunday, 3 till 9:30. Call now for reservations at 458-2068. That's 458-2068.
I was lost. Thank goodness I saw the smoke from your campfire.
Bonfire of the vanities.
My car broke down. I thought I could walk to my girlfriend Barbara's house.
Barbarella.
You know her?
One night stand.
What? You two had an affair? Is there anyone else?
Tango and Cash.
Yeah, and?
Jonah who lived in the whale.
What are you talking about?
Cinemax. It's really great. Nothing but movies.
If you've got movies on your mind, turn to Cinemax, the best network for movies on TV.
Talk 1300.
All right, what you're hearing is Capital District Agenda, and I'm your Friday host, Mike Hotelling. We spend every Friday to talk a little bit here about the environment, and nothing more hotter than this environmental topic of the Environmental Bond Act. And we have a couple of guests with us. Representing Governor Pataki is Gary Sheffer, and representing himself is Jack, right? Jack McEnany?
Right.
And we got some callers on the line here, so without any further ado, let's go to the phones. Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good. You know, I think there's a lot more opposition to this than people are aware of. About 20% of the entire state legislature, 40 members, actually voted against this Bond Act. I'm only young. I'm 23 years old. I'll be voting against the Bond Act because I don't want to see more state debt piled on my head and the heads of people my age who are going to have to pay for all the cleanup efforts and all the sins that are being done now. This debt is going to kill my generation at the national level, and with this Bond Act, it's only going to be expanded at the state level, and I can't see why responsible leaders think it's appropriate to keep piling debt on their kids' heads.
Well, I think that's probably why people like Mike Bragman have reservations on the Bond Act. But, you know, pollution will kill your generation a lot quicker, particularly if you're younger. As far as the debt is concerned, people forget, yes, we have a mountain of debt. One of the reasons we have a hard time balancing our budget is because we pay off some of the mountain every single year. Now, with this Bond Act, which is about $1.750 billion, $1.75 billion, with this Bond Act, when that money's out there, and with all that interest that's paid on it, by the year 2000, New York State will have less debt than it has now. The mountain doesn't always grow. It's often carved away because we pay every year. That's one reason we have such a tough time trying to run the government, because we're paying our debt at the same time. But by the year 2000, you'll have less debt than you have now.
Gary, you want to add something to that?
And just one point, and we obviously know that people are concerned about borrowing, and that's a legitimate concern. However, we have to make an investment in our environment, in our environmental infrastructure, if we're going to continue the economic recovery of this state. We can't continue, just as we can't continue to run up financial deficits, continue to run up an environmental deficit. Sooner or later, the bill comes due. And we think if we make an investment now, the cleanup costs will be less than they were if we allow these problems to linger.
All right, well, I want to thank that listener for a phone call. Let's go to another listener here. Hello, are you there?
Is that me?
Yeah, it's you.
Yes, another word popped, you just was spoken, that's one of those scary words I hear all the time, investment. That, since there's no opposition from either one of these parties, that worries me. I guess everybody's got some little piece of the pie in there, and that's why they want it. Although I could see no better reason to borrow money than for the environment. I'm not voting for it. I think we've got way too much debt. And back to another caller called about the bond fees.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you don't know it because it hasn't been determined yet, or you just don't know it?
I personally just don't know. I assume that the standard practices would be used. I mean, the total, if you're asking me what the total cost of this bond act is, there's about $1 billion in interest, if you will, on the bond act over the life of the bonds, and the bonds will average about 20 years. So that's the total cost in addition to the $1.75 billion that would go to actual projects. The cost to you and me as taxpayers is roughly $4 a year, less than $4 a year. $3.75 is a number that I've seen. And we think that's a fairly intelligent investment in what we're going to do with this money.
Now, the bond fees expenses? Could I call my local assemblyman and find that out later then?
Yes, I'll look into it on Monday and find out if we can find out what the fees of council would be and those kinds of things.
I'm just curious. One final point myself. One final point. I was reading in a magazine of a couple months ago called Governing.
Mm-hmm.
And it stated that 40% of all the municipal debt in the country originates in New York State. 40% originates in New York State. That is the one of the reasons I will not be voting for this. And we'll be calling my local assemblyman to get that number.
Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Who is your local assemblyman?
That'd be you.
Very good.
Okay.
I'll look forward to
okay.
it.
Well, thank you for your call. Let's move on to another caller. Hello, are you there, caller?
I'm here.
Hey.
Oh, good. It's me.
It's you. It's you. I know. It takes a while. We got calls all lined up here, and we try and go first come, first serve, so sometimes you got to sit a little bit, but we appreciate you hanging on.
I'm patient. I don't mind waiting.
Okay.
I'm going to have to agree basically with your last two callers. I think this may be important, and I would be inclined to vote for it if it was put on the table that we need to spend this money, and here's your choice. What do you want to take it away from? If you want to take money from something else to pay for this, you can probably get my vote. But I think if you give us this bond act and increase the legislator's salary, pretty soon we'll have just enough taxes to make me comfortable. That's a little rhetorical, but I'm sick and tired of more and more and more and more. And you say, some of this is federal matching funds.
Well, we all know
that's our tax dollars as well.
Oh, sure, but most of it will be private sector. If you get into an issue like the brownfields, when you take an utterly worthless multi-acre
Who
lot...
Who made that worthless?
In a city... Well, let's take like Schenectady, all right? Let's take a section maybe where the West Albany shops were, where you've got all kinds of polluted ground, and God knows what's been there between the spillage and... dumping, etc., and you have a worthless piece of property that no one will buy because of the liability. That's worthless. It's dangerous because you are afraid to put anything in there on top of it. It's in violation of state and federal law as far as what you can do with it, and it's generating no tax money. And if you take something like that and you let that continue for 10 or 12 more years when you hope you can do something then at much greater cost, this is bad news. On the other hand, if you can find a way to sell it to a municipality for little or nothing, bring in some money from the Bond Act, clean it up to at least industrial standards, and bring in private industry so they create jobs, which creates taxes and services and everything else, I think then you've done something which is economically sound. It's the old story. If you've got a leak in the roof, you better fix it now. If you let it go for a couple of years, you've got to fix everything in the house.
Right.
A lot of these things can be corrected while they're cheap.
if this is a high priority, then make it a high priority, but take it from something else.
Where would you like to take it from?
Put everything on the table. You tell me where the money goes, and I'll tell you where I should say it should come from, but I think then there should be some sort of a accounting by all the people as to where they would want to take it from. We just cannot keep spending this money.
And that's agreed, and that's why, I mean, it's important to note that the state's general obligation debt will be lower, even with these bonds. Governor Pataki has made a commitment to paying down that debt and reducing it, and even with these bonds, we will have lower debt in the year 2000.
And if we didn't have these bonds, would it be even lower yet?
That's right, but it also, you might have higher property taxes. There are requirements that local communities will have to meet, drinking water requirements. $355 million of this bond act will go to drinking water, protecting drinking water. Communities would be forced to do their own borrowing or raise property taxes, and then you would end up paying for it in that way. This is a partnership between the state and those communities to help get these jobs done.
Okay, thank you very much. Are you done, sir?
Well, I just wanted to say, I just think that you're getting a little opposition because it gives the politicians an easy way out. They don't have to make the hard choices that we all in private life have to make.
And these are hard choices. I mean, this is a hard decision to make, and that's why part of my job is to let people know what's in it and the benefits that it can accrue from making what we think is a really targeted and important investment.
Okay, well, educate us.
Okay.
Well, you bring up a good point. In one sense, I wish we did have a little more opposition, because I think it forces us to look at the Bond Act more closely. And I think the closer you look at it, as you said, educate us, I think the closer you look at it, the better it's going to look. So that kind of scrutiny, I think, can only help the process. And I'm confident that you'll feel better about it when you look at what's really in it. And also, what's the alternatives if we don't?
Okay, I want to thank that caller. Now, joining our panel is state wildlife pathologist Ward Stone, and Ward joins us every week here on the broadcast. Ward, we're talking a little bit about the Bond Act today. Do you know Jack and Gary?
Oh, yes. I've known Jack for many years.
Yeah.
And Gary, of course, dealt with him in DEC.
Any comments, observations on your point?
I was listening to the show on the way in, and I heard some of the young people calling in and talking about the cost being heaped on their shoulders. I tell you, as a wildlife pathologist for 28 years and studying pollution problems, if we don't upgrade our sewage treatment plants, we don't control the air pollution, we don't put the new things in there to stop pollution in the first place, we're going to have more problems like the PCBs in the Hudson River, like the mercury in Onondaga Lake that I heard talked about. The cost of cleanup is enormous. So actually, the prevention will save money for that generation, those 23-year-olds. They'll be paying less money out because they prevent the problems from actually occurring. And that's a real important thing to do. I've also been around long enough to see the effects of the 1970 Bond Act. And when that happened, there was great improvement in the environment. It prevented a lot of problems, but now a lot of the infrastructure of those sewage treatment plants that went in, that problem is coming back because in some places those plants won't handle the pollution today. They're too small. There's too much input. I'm speaking, of course, as private citizen today, rather than as wildlife pathologist on this particular issue. And that even gives me more leeway than usual.
I didn't know there could be more.
there can be quite a bit of leeway.
All right, well, we got a couple more callers on the line here, I'm hoping, so let's get right to the phone calls. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, would you
How
like to speak to our
tonight?
Panel?
Good.
Listen, did I hear the evil B word mentioned in terms of cost? Was that billion?
That's correct.
The evil B word.
Yes,
well,
it is.
I really have to say, Jack, I know you're in a heated contest for re-election. What benefits will Albany and Gilderland have?
Yeah, actually, it's $750 million. It's not $1 billion in interest. It's a slightly over $750 million. What benefit will
what
it have?
What benefits will the city of Albany and Gilderland have?
I don't think we've got it spelled out that specifically. This isn't one of these long, specific laundry lists. You apply for the Bond Act, and there'll be a point system set up. I'm going to pass the buck to Gary because he knows more about the mechanism
but,
than
well, I mean, you're for this, but you don't know what benefits it'll be for your constituents?
Maybe some of my people will have their lives saved in the process from a lack of pollution.
Well, Jack, I got to argue.
And by the way,
Jack, I got to ask you this, though.
I govern a state. You know, I'm elected from a district, as we all are.
Right.
But I govern the whole state of New York.
Right, but Jack, I got to ask you this, though. You don't know what benefits will be for your people, and then you quote to another caller, and I find that very offensive, that we're going to save your life because of pollution. I mean, you're more apt to die slipping on a soap in the tub than you will be with pollution. We all know that. You know, I really think that's offensive for you to make those kind of wild statements. You don't know what benefits will be.
We're...
You know, I really find that because we know that you're a liberal.
You're taking it totally out of context. We're talking on a statewide. What are you going to ask me? How the 14th ward's going to do compared to the 15th ward? Let's not micromanage here.
I'm asking what this benefits will be, and you can't answer it for your own constituents.
Clean water in the Hudson Valley. What benefits will it be?
I've asked you what for the city of Albany and Gilderland. What will this? How will this?
I think Jack mentioned before that there's $25 million in the bond act for the Hudson River estuary. That's a management plan that's designed to do a lot of things, improve the water quality of the Hudson River.
And there's $200 million in brownfields alone. I mean, we've got a problem with water pollution right now out in the old Voorheesville Depot out in Gilderland. We've got all kinds of industrial sites along the Hudson River in Albany, and you know what? My people in Albany and Gilderland, New Scotland, Burn, and Knox, they commute to go to work. Some of them work in Waterford. Some of them work in Schenectady. Some of them work in other areas in our Hudson Mohawk Valley region.
Yeah, well, Jack, I got to tell you, I know you get a free ride when you're on with Paul. You like to come in there, but I'd like to see you debate this issue with the man that's going to beat you, and that's a good man, Joe Sullivan. Wipe you out on this issue, and I know you're running from him.
Look, no, I went over to Joe's house. I just spoke to David Schnell, my Republican opponent, and all of us want to go on the radio, all three of us.
Yeah, well, see, you're running from this, you know.
I'm not running from it. I'm looking forward to it.
We know that you're a liberal, Jack. You know, you really ought to consider running for Albany's sister city. Why don't you run in Tula?
Listen.
You'd probably have a better chance over there in Russia.
Well,
we know you're a lefty. This is a joke, and no one's going to vote for it. It's been tried twice before, and it's your governor, Pataki. It's not mine.
Twice before? I've only known of one environmental bond.
I believe it's been on the ballot before, and it's failed both times.
Once.
This is a joke. No one's going to vote for it, and you're done in November.
Well, thank you very much for your call.
Just some history that there
we don't want to get on impersonal attacks here, so that listener had about enough to say, so we'll just let it go at that. But this show is not about personal attacks. This show is about an environmental bond act that's going to be very positive for New York State.
Right. There was the failed bond act in 1990, but since 1910, New Yorkers have approved 9 bond acts to further protect the environment and our natural heritage. New York has always led the way in environmental protection right from the days of Teddy Roosevelt, as Jack mentioned before. We think that when the people learn what's in this, and there are things that we can talk about, projects that are illustrative of what's in the Bond Act, like the need to do some closure work at the Albany landfill. There's recycling programs here in the 4-county area, Albany, Rensselaer, Columbia, and Schenectady, that total about $5.6 million. This Bond Act would provide half of those costs to recycle our solid waste. So there are things of that nature that we can talk about more specifically.
We're running down to our last 4 minutes. Ward, did you want to make a comment? Because I saw your face when that guy said something about the pollution thing.
Yeah, well, I also heard about Tula. I think if you went over there, you'd find that was a very conservative place right now, not a liberal place. But certainly the Albany area is going to get a lot of benefits. The Hudson River is going to keep getting cleaner, which is extremely important. We've got lots of brownfields in the area. All these cities around here, whether you're looking at Troy or Waterville or Cohoes or Albany, they're all old industrial cities. They got spots that are already identified, more that will be, that will need cleanup. We've got plenty of sites around, like Nassau Lake and the Dewey Lafle site, that could use some additional work. And so there's going to be benefits statewide to it if it's done right, and I think there's a good chance that it will be excellent.
Okay, well, we're going to go to a couple more phone callers here, so hello, caller, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Would you like to speak to the panel?
Yes.
Go ahead.
In 1990, the Environmental Quality Bond Act was for funding $1.9 billion worth of projects, and it wasn't clear in looking at that act, the act itself, specifically what specific projects the funds were going to be used for. And also in that year, in the capital projects budget bill, there were hundreds of line items of appropriations which were under the caption eligible for reimbursement out of proceeds of the Environmental Quality Bond Act. So it was clear that, in that case at least, there were about $300 million from the proceeds of that bond act that were going to go to reimburse, be used to reimburse the state for prior expenditures, such as the Lake George Beach bathhouse, which had already been built and I'm familiar with. So I went to the concerned about that this time around.
Sir, could you cut to the chase, because we only have a couple minutes left.
I've gone to the document room to pick up the bills for this year's bond act. And it's not, the Environmental Quality Bond Act itself is 1.5 pages. It gives very little information as to what the money is going to be used for. There's a companion bill, a 50-page bill, which gives more information, but still no specific information as to what projects are going to be funded. And in the Environmental Quality Bond Act, this year's Clean Water, Clean Air Bond Act, it says up front that the monies to come from the proceeds of this bond act will be used to reimburse the state, monies dispersed or to be dispersed for state programs. So how much of the $1.75 billion that we would authorize would be used to reimburse the state for prior expenditures, and how much of the funds would
I believe
be used for new projects?
Okay, now, sir,
what would those projects be?
Sir, I got to run here because we're running up against the clock here. Thank you for the phone call. You guys want to take this one?
Just real quickly, I think all of the projects will be prospective projects. I don't think we're going to be doing all new projects. We're not going to be doing that kind of reimbursement. Also, there are details on these projects. We know what sewage treatment plants need to be upgraded to improve Long Island Sound. We know what sewage treatment plants need to be upgraded to clean Lake Champlain. We know what landfills in the Adirondacks need to be closed. So while the legislation itself doesn't list specific projects, there will be some more information available on just what this will do in local communities and specifically what kind of work will be done.
Jack, is there anything you want to add to this? Because we're running up against the clock.
No,
here,
I appreciate the caller's questions, and I think with any expenditure this large or any government expenditure, they're doing their civic duty. They're asking the hard questions. I'd get off the 1990, 6 years ago, Bond Act. I'd concentrate on this Bond Act. I'd ask the hard questions and the lists and the formulas and the procedures and so on. And I think the more people look at it, the more they question it, the more they criticize it, the more comfortable they're going to be with this Bond Act.
And I'm in total agreement, because with what I see in this Bond Act, I don't see anything wrong there. And, you know, it's no wonder nobody's really come up against it, you know. Well, that's it for this week. We'll see you again next week here. For Capital District Agenda.
Iraqi media today relayed the pitch from Saddam Hussein. He'll U.S. planes if those planes will give up patrolling the no-fly zones. The White House says actions, not words, count. The State Department says Saddam will just have to guess if or when the U.S. might strike.
He has acted in an aggressive and unconscionable manner. He's violated international law, and he'll just have to wonder about what the United States has in store.
Defense Secretary Perry is bound for the Gulf region to shore up Allied support while more warplanes and jets are heading in, including a new contingent of F-117 fighter bombers. In flight, pilots praise the new generation of stealth bombers.
We're not invincible, and we're not invisible. We are good at what we do, and we fly a good machine that does something very, very well.
I'm Jan Johnson.
I've been waiting for the perfect deal on satellite TV for a really long time. Wait's over, because I found out Radio Shack has satellite TV for about $1 a day. RCA brand DSS or Primestar, either system with programming for about $1 a day. That's perfect. RCA DSS and Primestar systems and programming differ. Price and equipment may vary. Installation cost not included. Some restrictions apply. See store for details. Radio Shack. You've got questions, we've got answers.
Your allergies, the runny nose, the watery eyes, the sneezing. But when your allergy symptoms lead to sinus pain and headache, it's hard to weather the storm with just a pain reliever. But now there's Benadryl Allergy Sinus Headache. Benadryl Allergy Sinus Headache gives you maximum strength pain relief, plus Benadryl's histamine blocker for allergy relief. Relieve the pain and the allergy symptoms that trigger it and enjoy a break in the clouds with Benadryl Allergy Sinus Headache for allergies that hurt. Use as directed.
A group called Judicial Watch Incorporated is suing Hillary Rodham Clinton, the FBI, and a host of others, claiming $19 million in damages over the White House mishandling of hundreds of FBI background files.
Emotional distress. I think you can obviously appreciate that when someone goes through personnel files, it's quite severe. President Clinton himself has said he doesn't want anyone seeing his medical records. It's embarrassing. In addition, you have loss of reputation. You have issues involving loss of time and expense.
Attorney Larry Klayman describes this group as a progressively conservative organization. And Mrs. Clinton is named in the lawsuit, but no evidence has yet tied her to the handling of the files. The White House is moving closer to unveiling more on the president's medical history. Under pressure from Bob Dole's campaign, a spokesman says they now have to satisfy the public that the president is in good health overall. Polls open just hours from now in Bosnia for an election defended by U.S. peace envoys as progress toward one Bosnia. But U.N. spokesman Chris Janoski suggests the candidates only want to divide.
What we have seen during the election campaign, we've seen a lot of very nationalistic separatist rhetoric. And everything indicates that these separatists and nationalist forces are probably going to win.
U.S. envoy Richard Holbrooke insists the election will lead to a central government and not secession. Consumer prices edged up just a tenth of a point last month. Georgia State University economist Donald Ratajczak says consumer earnings are one reason why.
The consumer is also a wage recipient, and wages have not been growing very rapidly. And if people are not going to get paid more for their work, they're not going to pay more for the goods they buy.
Wall Street ran it as a good bet the Fed won't increase interest rates. The Dow soared into new record territory, up 67 to 58.39. With NBC Radio News, I'm Jan Johnson.
Creamy, creamy coconut balls. Deep dark chocolate. Coconut and chocolate mounds. Sweet and creamy, yummy. Creamy, creamy coconut balls.
Sweet and chocolate.
For pure chocolate coconut delight, there's nothing like Mounds and Almond Joy. So treat yourself. They're indescribably delicious.
This is an executive test. Choose the correct letter. A, a multifunction office machine with a 12 pages per minute laser printer and digital copier.
Or B, one with an inkjet printer that makes 3 pages.
A, 400 DPI scanner and laser fax.
B, 300 DPI scanner and fax.
If you chose A, the Mita AF1200, congratulations.
If you chose B, enjoy working for Mr. A.
Fax, scan, print, copy. Mita perfected it. Call 1-800-ABC-MITA.
Now time for the Capital District's longest-running sports talk show, WQBK Sports Talk with Sandy Penner. To talk sports with Sandy, dial 463-1111. Now, here's Sandy Penner.
Hey, 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 it's not Sandy Penner. It's Don Lovato sitting in for Sandy. Sandy's out and about tonight. He took himself a long weekend. He's going to return on Monday. If you've got something to say directly to him, save it to then. If you got something to say that you just want anyone to hear and listen to and possibly respond to, pick up the phone. The numbers are the same. 463-1111, star 9725, and that one would be a freebie on Cellular One. I don't get to do this too often, obviously not as often as I'd like, but when I do it, I usually have something stuck in my craw that I need to really get off on or get out and about